Hello, New Life.
Good morning.
How is everybody today? Welcome to the those out there on the patio and our friends online. If you're watching us online, make sure you say hello to us. We always love to see our friends online.
Put in the chat. Say hi.
My name is Elena, and this is Amelia.
Hello, hello.
How is everybody doing? Enjoying? Yes, it's kind of quiet in here today. If this is your first time here, mm-hmm. we especially want to get to know you, right, Amelia?
Yes.
What should they do if it's their first time here?
You should come see us at the Connections booth. We got some in the lobby. We've got one outside on the patio. Come grab coffee and just say hi. See where you can get connected.
Because it's a great time of the year to get connected at New Life. All of our fall Bible studies and everything kind of kicked off this week, but it is not too late to join.
Not too late. It's like week two this week. So Thursday is the day to be on campus. Well,
yes.
Sunday, too. We're glad you're here.
Yes,
but come again on Thursday. Thursday, we've got our women's Bible study, our men's Bible study, and the young adults group, which is awesome. So if you're an adult and you're young, come hang out with me on Thursdays.
Yes. Thursday is such a fun. There's, like, so many things happening. Mornings, evenings, all throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Lots of connection happening, lots of community, lots of growing in our faith. And New Life is celebrating a birthday. We are celebrating our 75th anniversary. I don't know if you have seen the display out in the lobby, all of our little pictures. Amelia, have you taken your photo yet?
I have not taken my
photo
yet.
Well, guess what? Today's your lucky day. Here you go. You started coming in 2008.
Will you guys be in my photo with me?
Okay, ready? Everybody smile. One, two, three. So cute. All right, we got that done. So if you haven't taken your photo today, come find me, come find anybody on staff. You can even do it yourself. There's like a little QR code on the back, and you can upload it yourself. And so we also need your help with something today. Very important, kind of a controversial subject.
We were having a debate before service today,
The green room was just full of arguments, just throwing down, very angry. So the question is, would you rather take a bite of a raw onion or a bite of a raw tomato?
Yes.
So there was much debate over this. So why don't you, as you prepare for worship, stand and just
stand
argue with the
ask,
person next to you.
Ask your neighbor, which is better?
Thank you.
is death brought liberty? Oh, is death brought liberty? And may I never boast in anything except the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
just to do, I'm going to be honest with you guys, a quick prayer in between. But as we were singing that song, this one line stood out to me. And there are just so many powerful lyrics within that song that we just sang. But one of them is, his punishment is my peace. How crazy is that, right? That his punishment, he chose to be punished so that we could have peace. His pain becomes our peace. His pain becomes our joy. So this morning, as we continue in worship, would we just be reminded of that sweet, sweet gift that Jesus has given us? Amen.
we just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your character. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your love. So God, we just take a moment right now to just quiet our hearts and to just remember the times that you have been faithful in our life. We take a moment to pause and just to express our gratitude to you. God, we take another moment for you to speak to us. For you to just bolster our faith, to let those times in our life where you have been faithful, to allow us to have faith in our future because of you. So we take a minute to listen to you and your word, and for you to just encourage our heart. God, we thank you that you are holy forever. You are not just holy on Sundays or just until Tuesday, God, but you are holy forever and ever and ever. And so we join with the angels today and we cry out. We declare you holy. We declare you worthy. Thank you for the way that you are working already in this room. We just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just open hearts, open minds. Would you share your word and your truth and your love with us today? We are open to receive it, God. We are open to receive it. Speak to us today. In Jesus' mighty and powerful name, we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. I would like to invite our ushers forward to receive our tithes and offering today. This week we started a class called Financial Peace that just really helps you understand how to get a hold of your finances so that your finances aren't controlling you, but you get to direct it where to go to bless people. And guys, I have some really exciting news. First of all, it's not too late to join. You can come this Wednesday and come to Financial Peace to the second week. It's the last week to join, so come this week. And you guys, we had somebody this week come forward anonymously and give a donation to New Life on behalf of Financial Peace. And so they've said that anybody who completes the course, they will get reimbursed. So it's normally like $80 or something like that, which is crazy. If you're really struggling financially, like to pay $80 to then learn how to help your finances, it's worth the investment, but it is kind of a lot. So if you come to FPU and you complete the course, you will be reimbursed, which is just super awesome. And it's just so great to be a part of a generous church that sees a need and wants to see people live fully alive in Jesus, and they're willing to make sacrificial gifts in order to make that happen. So come to Financial Peace this Wednesday. It's in the lobby. I think it'll be just a blessing in your life and a blessing to others as we just learn how to bless people with what God has given us, because it is all God's anyway, right? Amen. And so this past Sunday, we had our crew rally. Is there anybody that was there at the crew rally? Woo, give a little rally. All right. That's kind of sad, you guys. Going to be honest. But we had our crew rally. We gathered everybody who serves at New Life, came together, and we learned a little bit more about our crews. And so Luke was there. Luke, would you come on up? This is my friend Luke. Everybody give him a warm welcome. Luke, where do you currently serve here at New Life? Awesome. That seems hard.
No, it's fine.
Yeah? Practice a lot?
Practice a lot,
okay,
absolutely.
Cool. Now, what was something when you came to the crew rally that stuck out to you? Maybe something you didn't know before or something that stuck?
Yeah, so there I just didn't realize all the different areas that needed help, and I saw that the tech team needed help, and I was unaware of that.
So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you were like, I drum every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
But I might have a little bit more capacity.
Absolutely. Yeah, so... my wife volunteers as well, so she does kids men and she does the pantry, and so she takes up time with that. And so I definitely had some extra time since on the worship team. I come up every now and again. We have a few drummers, so decided, you know, I can get involved a lot more. So once I found out that the tech team needed help, I volunteered right away.
And do you have like your master's, doctorate in tech?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, not a requirement, correct?
It has been my tech abilities have been failing as I've been getting older. So, yes.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. But we will train you. You'll yes. learn something new.
And that was a big part of it. It said they will train you. So.
Yes. So as you'll see behind us, this is kind of like we talked about what it looks like for New Life at our best, how many some of our crews could use at our best, and then how many we currently have. So if you're somebody who haven't maybe jumped in to serving yet here at New Life, maybe think about it, pray about it, because it is an amazing church, and it is a great place to be a part of. And I am confident, Luke, that you will meet new people in that,
that yes.
fun little cave back there, as we call it.
I wore black so that way I could be a part. I'll fit in.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much,
Luke. And so one of the things we also talked about at the crew rally is not only serving with your gifts and where you're gifted, but also maybe serving just where you're needed. And that's what's a beautiful picture of the church being the church body, is just jumping in someplace to fill a need, to fill a spot that could be used. And we have this new crew. It's not new. We've been using it for a while now, but we're going to bolster it a little bit. It's called the All-Star Crew, and there's information in your bulletin about it, and it's basically just saying, I can just serve wherever this week, you know? We'll send out an email and be like, hey, the coffee crew called in sick. Could you help serve some coffee this week? Something like that. Or we have a whole bunch of booklets that need to be stapled and folded this week. Could you come in and to the office and help us out? So that's just a way to just serve wherever needed. And also, guys, this is the best chance to get involved and serve in just one little way, is at Fall Fest. Can you guys believe Fall Fest is here already? It's coming up on Saturday. We're moving back to Saturday this year on October 26th. And so this is, if you have never served, there's so many people that I know that are very faithful members of the New Life crew, and they got their start serving at New Life at Fall Fest. Because it's an easy way, just one night you can plug in. Also, we need tons of candy. So if you can't be there that night, you can just donate some candy or cakes for the cakewalk. Last year, I think we had 77 cakes that were donated, whether they were freshly baked or just picked up at Vons on the way in. Both are acceptable. So there's just so many ways for you to get involved, because Fall Fest is truly just like an open door to our community to just say, we see you, we love you, and we invite you here. And then we allow the Holy Spirit to do the miraculous thing that when they come on our campus, they can feel and sense the presence of God. And there's also tons of people who have come to New Life, and Fall Fest was the first thing they ever came to. And so just start praying about Fall Fest in ways that God might work in our community and in our church, and jump in to serve. So this is our final week of our No Longer Strangers series. So would you just take a moment, prepare your heart, and welcome up David.
Would you stand with me for the reading of the gospel this morning? Down throughout history, those who have followed Jesus, those who have been apprentices of Jesus, have stood for the reading of the gospel lesson, for the reading of Jesus' words, to help us understand that there is an honor, there is a reverence, but there's also something that we want to happen this morning. We want these words to soak deep into our hearts, deep into our souls, that we might be changed because of the reading and the studying and the hearing and the doing of God's word. Hear the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 14, says this: "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may have a seat. My father-in-law was born Ronnie J. Basham. His twin brother was Johnny Ray Basham. They were mere twins. It got confusing. In fact, my kids grew up having Papa, which is Dana's dad, and Papa John, which was his twin brother, because they couldn't tell the difference for many years. Ronnie grew up in the inner city parts of Indianapolis. He was raised by a single mom. And needless to say, the Basham brothers got in a ton of trouble when they were growing up. They found ways to get in trouble, and they found ways to make trouble. They were also known on the streets of Indianapolis for being able to handle their business. If one got in a fight, you better believe the other one was not too far behind. And while you might be able to scrap with one of them for a little bit, you weren't going to hold both of them down for very long. His dad was never really a father to him until Ronnie became an employee to his dad by working for his masonry company. Ronnie dropped out of school after 10th grade and eventually had to find employment. And so his dad, who he didn't have a lot of contact with up to that point and had really started a whole nother family, all of a sudden he was hired by his dad and began to work in the trades and to develop that particular skill. Long story short, both Johnny Ray and Ronnie J ended up going to Vietnam. And they signed up when they were 17 and served two tours with the 1-9, or what's referred to as the Walking Dead, with the United States Marine Corps. Kind of for the first time, both of them found out what it meant to have a sense of belonging, a sense of purpose, a sense to kind of feel like they were bound to something. But interestingly enough, when they came home, all of that went away. As a country who received them didn't understand what they had experienced, couldn't relate to what they had seen, couldn't understand the things that they had gone through, and in many ways shunned them, which bound them once again together as brothers, as twins, and yet there was still something where they just couldn't figure out, couldn't place their finger on it, but they didn't feel like they fit in. Eventually, my mother-in-law, Frances, who many of you know as Nana around here, moved to Cincinnati for her employment. And so Johnny and Frances moved to Cincinnati with their young children, Dana and Doug, and they attend Springdale Church of the Nazarene. Ronnie is not following Jesus at this point. He's simply just going to church to appease Frances. Some of you might be here for that reason today. But he would go with her, and one day when they were at the Springdale Church of the Nazarene, Doug, Dana's older brother, was at the altar, and he was praying. And Ronnie was nudged by his not-so-quiet mother, who had raised him, to go and figure out why Doug was at the altar. And Ronnie goes down to the altar, and he begins to pray with Doug, and then asked Doug, why are you here? There's nothing mystical or magical about this place. Why are you here? And Doug looks up at his dad and says, "Dad, I want you to know Jesus." And right then and there, Ronnie J. Basham, the fighter, the Marine Corps veteran, the one who had probably a lot of anger and frustration built up inside of him, had a transformational encounter with Jesus. And his life would never be the same again. Now, Ronnie still had some rough edges. In fact, I would say that Ronnie was a lover of Jesus with a little bit of roughness around the edges. Can anybody relate to that this morning? But with the same passion that Ronnie had fought for our country, and with the same passion that he had defended his brother, and then with the same passion that he had gone through life, he had this gregarious laugh and sense of humor. With all of that, he put all of that energy into telling others about Jesus. His life was transformed, and he couldn't help but tell people about Jesus. If you were standing in the store with him, if you were meeting him for the very first time, if you were at church where he was a greeter, no matter where he was going to turn your attention towards Jesus, because Jesus had changed his life so much, he wanted every single person to know that their life could be changed also. He wanted every single person to know that, you know what? If you had a dad that didn't care about you and only saw you as an employee and not as a son, guess what? Jesus loves you and wants a relationship with you. If you are somebody who can't figure out their feelings and their frustration, Jesus loves you and wants a relationship with you. And he would go on and on and on. And when he would get really excited, he would stutter and stammer because he would get tongue-tied because he was so excited about Jesus. He would stand up in the middle of a congregation when a worship song was being sung, and he would wave his hand and he would celebrate. Now, what's interesting is that when Jesus transformed Ronnie's life, he not only transformed Ronnie's life, but he invited Ronnie to belong to a body of Christ. Again, the Springdale Church of the Nazarene. And this rough and tough guy actually got involved in a ministry at Springdale Church of the Nazarene, not only as a greeter, which he did often, but he would also, him and his wife, my mother-in-law, Frances, they would bring bread every single week. Panera would give the day-old bread to the church, and they would bring it the next day, and they would have it as part of their patio fellowship. So they'd show up on Saturday night and grab the bread and bring it on Sunday. And then somebody tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, would you want to be a part of the Living Cross? Now, Living Cross was a big production. Ronnie was not a drama person. He was not a singer. But all of a sudden, he felt like he belonged to this group of people that were going to proclaim the gospel. And Ronnie had one line in the entire production. When Jesus tapped him on the shoulder, he simply said this: he chose me. I think I have a picture of Ronnie saying this. That's Ronnie in the background there. He chose me. Everybody knew Ronnie's line. Everybody who attended that church or attended that production had heard Ronnie's line. Now, he was a part of, belonged to, the Springdale Church of the Nazarene. It wasn't just a church he attended. It was a place he belonged to the family, and together corporately through things like this, through ministry, through gathering together, through friends going to dinner together, they became the light of the world. In fact, on Sunday evenings after Sunday night church, they would go out to this place called Bob Evans. And if you're not from the Midwest, you don't even know what that is. But if you know, you know. And they would go to Bob Evans, and they would have a waiter or a waitress wait on the 10 or 15 people that they would be there with. And they would tell them, hey, we're going to be here a while. It's okay. We'll just keep bringing the coffee and the water after you've brought out all the food. And that would be great. But before they left, those 10 or 15 people would receive a bill. And when they received that bill, they would give that waiter or waitress a tip that was basically the amount of the entire bill for all those people, to simply just bless them. And sometimes, as the tears would come down that waiter or waitress's, you know, face as they discovered what had been done, they say, hey, can we pray for you? And they would gather around that waiter or waitress, and they would pray for her or him, maybe something that they're going through. And they were the light of the world. Right before we moved here, Ronnie passed away. But he didn't pass away alone. He belonged to the family of God. And so the night before he passed away, people from the church started showing up at his house and stood outside and began to sing and pray for Ronnie. And some people came in and prayed for him as he was preparing to take his final breath on this earth. He belonged to the family of God. I think we have a picture of that night too. Gathered around, not alone. As we've been saying over the last couple of weeks, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of leukemia, taking his life in this world. Ronnie felt seen, he felt safe, and he felt loved because he knew that God loved him, had forgiven him, had saved him, and he knew that the body of Christ was surrounding him in that moment. He belonged. And collectively, in this moment, there's a snapshot. That's a picture of what it looks like to be the light of the world. So what's Jesus doing in this passage where he's calling people to be the light of the world? Well, you've got to have some context, because in the first 12 verses of this particular chapter, chapter 5 of Matthew, all of a sudden you begin to realize that Jesus is inviting people who are on the outside of what God is doing to come on the inside of what he is doing. He is weaving people, the poor in spirit, the mournful, the people that are the outcast, the people that are the downtrodden, the people that don't feel like they fit, the people who grew up without a father figure, the people who came home from war and nobody understood what they had gone through or what they had experienced, the people who didn't graduate from high school, the people who people would call uneducated, the people who stutter and stammer as they try to tell their testimony. He was telling those individuals that they were blessed and that they were a part of the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the mournful. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. All of a sudden, he was weaving into this, the story of God, those that didn't feel like they fit in. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, you can be a part of what God is doing. Now, when many of us read these words of the Beatitudes, many times we hear these words and we go, all right, hold on a second. Am I supposed to be poor in spirit? Like, am I supposed to just walk around, oh, I'm so poor in spirit? These were never meant to be virtues. These were circumstances of life. These were postures that people had. And Jesus was saying, because I have come, you can now be blessed. These weren't virtues to be pursued, but realities to be changed. And so in the first century, you have to understand a little bit about what these words of the Beatitudes meant. First of all, just like today, in the first century, the virtue was to be self-reliant, not poor, right? It's to kind of do things on your own. And so those who were not self-reliant were spit on. Those who were not self-reliant were pushed to the side. Those who were seen as failures were pushed to the side and isolated. You can't be a part of us. And Jesus comes along and says, I have come for people just like you. In the first century, it was the triumphant, not those who were suffering, who were celebrated. People who had been wronged, people who had been hurt, they were forgotten about. And Jesus comes along and says, I see you. I have come for those just like you. It was the powerful, not the humble. In fact, it was like, who in the world would ever be humble? And Jesus comes along and says, the oppressed, or those who are under someone else's control, I have come for people like you. And if you hungered and thirst for righteousness, you were weak. It was an uphill battle because you would love others and they would spit on you. You would care for others and they would forget about you. You even had zealots who were trying to take this world by force rather than become the peacemakers that Jesus was calling them to be. And Jesus said, I have come for people just like you. He was taking all of these down and outs and these outcasts and these people who didn't fit in and these people who had experienced oppression and people who were impoverished and people who were spiritually poor, people who had nothing to offer, and he was weaving them into God's story. And those are actually the people, not the person who looked like they had it all together, not the person who was on the platform, not the person with the best voice, not the person with the greatest gift, but all the people who didn't feel like they actually had things to offer. He was weaving those people together and saying, you guys are going to be the light of the world. Me? But you don't know my story. Me? But you don't know what I've gone through. Me? But you don't know my temptation. Me? But you don't know how weak I am. Me? But you don't know how the battles that I face. Yes, you. You are invited to be a part of the kingdom of God. And you will be the light of the world. So let's break down this passage of what it means. The you and the your actually means y'all. You've heard me say this before, but it's so important. Like, that's how we should translate the you in this passage, is it's not a singular you. It's actually a second person plural pronoun, which basically means y'all. And so it's not you are the light of the world as a singular person. It is y'all are the light of the world. And that second person plural pronoun is addressed to any time that there's two or more people. So if there are two or more people, this is who this is addressed to. That you and your family and you and your friends and you and your doormate and you and the church. It's all of us who have declared that Jesus is Lord. And that's the second half of it, is that y'all are going to be a witness or the light of the world about Jesus. This passage is actually bookended. If you go to the end of the book of Matthew, this is in chapter 5, but if you go to the end of the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 28, it says, I have been given all authority. This is Jesus speaking. I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I will always be with you to the very end of the age. He's saying, hey, y'all go be the light of the world and declare that Jesus is Lord. It's an invitation to be a part of something bigger than your story has led you to believe that you can be a part of. It's an invitation to be a part of God's family. It's an invitation to experience God's love. It's an invitation to experience God's salvation through Christ Jesus. That you, no matter what you have been through, no matter what your education is, and no matter what your story is, and no matter how many times you feel like you have been let down, you are invited to be a part of what God is doing. You can be the light of the world. It's a shift from being strangers and outcasts to being brothers and sisters because of what Jesus has done for us. Now, Israel didn't understand this. Israel was always trying to kind of one-up the other nations around them. They were vying for political power. And as they vied for political power, nobody agreed on what Israel should look like. Can I get an amen? Nobody could agree on what Israel's future should look like. Is this relevant? And all of a sudden, there was these fractions and squabbles that were going back and forth. And all of a sudden, you had these individuals who were called the Zealots. And they said, hey, we're just going to do it by force, and we're going to do it our way. And Jesus comes along and gives them a more compelling vision for what it looks like to be the people of God, that they were no longer just the nation of Israel, but they were called to be sons and daughters. They were no longer just the nation of Israel. They were called to be brothers and sisters. And he said, when you do this and when you live in this way, you will be the light of the world. You will guide people who are walking and stumbling around in darkness, who, like you once were, didn't believe that they had any worth, didn't believe they had any value, didn't believe that they had anything to contribute, didn't understand how to utilize their giftedness. People like us, we would then be the light of the world and point them towards Jesus. And so I had to ask myself as I was studying this week, what am I guiding people towards? Like, if we are the light of the world, what are we actually guiding people towards? How are we pointing people towards Jesus? How are we lighting the way? Like, well, what does that really mean? Well, what does your attitude point people towards as the light of the world? What is your speech? How you talk about people? How you talk about things? The topics that are on your lips? What are the habits that point people towards Jesus and say that we are the light of the world? What are the add-ons that we have added on to Jesus where we say, hey, you can experience the transformational power of Jesus, but before you do that, you've got to add this onto your life. When we are the light of the world, do we light people towards grace or do we light people towards the law? So Jesus, he invites us to experience what it's like to be the light of the world. And then he says in this passage to place that light not under a bowl, but place it on a stand and create light for the entire household. Now again, metaphorically, we see that this light that will be placed that will give light to the entire household, we know from the Gospel of Matthew, will begin with Jerusalem and the Jews, but eventually that light will spread and guide all the Gentiles as well to be a part of God's story. Those who were the outcasts, those who people thought were the spiritually half-breeds, those individuals are invited into God's story also. In fact, some who were hearing Jesus' sermon that particular day would be sent off into other places, and they would truly be the light of Jesus in those dark places. But some, like you and I, would just go back to their home and have lunch after that Sunday morning sermon message, or Saturday maybe. And as they went home, they would have to ask themselves, what does it look like for me to be the light of the world to my neighbor? To the person who's in the grocery store, to the individual who I come across with, what does it look like to tell people about the transformation that Jesus has made in my life? What does it look like to live into the reality of the kingdom of God in such a way that it demands an answer for why we live how we live? And so three things, three ways that we have been talking about this entire series as we close things out. Three ways that you and I can be the light of the world. And you're familiar with this definition, but let's get practical. The first one is this, that you would feel seen, that others would feel seen. That in a world of production, that we would recognize that every single person has intrinsic value because they are image bearers. They were created in the image of God. That you would see others as God sees them. That their value would not be based on status and their value would not be based on production. That their value would not be based on their success or what they can do for you. But that you would go around and the people that you would see, you would look at them. And when you would see them, you would see past all the facades and fakeness that we see so often in our world. And you would see them as God sees them. And here's the next step after that, that you would not only see their intrinsic value, but you would become their hype man. Like, how do you become the individual that walks around and that you unearth the smallest of details in their life and you unearth giftedness in their life and you see things about them that they can't even look in the mirror and see themselves, and you have this lens because your life has been so transformed by God that when you see others, all you can see is how God created them. That all you can see is the plans and purposes that he has for their lives. That all you can see is the giftedness that they're too afraid to step forward and utilize because they're thinking somebody's just going to push me back down. How can we be a people that when we encounter others that we are quick to listen and slow to speak as we listen to their story, as we listen to who they are, and we unearth their intrinsic value seen? Their intrinsic value that God has placed there. Number two, loved, but not with a worldly love, with a sacrificial love. That we would love others with the same love that we have experienced. And can I be honest with you, church, today? That when you love others as you have been loved by Jesus, you will get hurt. It will be frustrating. You will be bruised and you will be beaten down at times, and you will have scars. Because when we love others with the same love that we have received from Jesus, we are walking the same road that he walked, and that is the way and the road of the cross. And he will be there for us, and he will strengthen us, and he will encourage us, but it is not an easy road. When you love people sacrificially, you walk the way of the cross. And lastly, that you would become a safe space for people to move from being sinners to sons and daughters. That you would be a safe place for people to move from being sinners to sons and daughters of the Most High God. We say this passage, many of you know it, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right? And yet do we create space for the world to step in and belong before they become? Do we create space for people to bring their mess and their brokenness and their sin and their frustrations and the things that are not going right? Can you imagine if Springdale Church of the Nazarene would have said to Ronnie, before you walk in through our doors, you got to clean yourself up. Before you walk through our doors, you got to think like us and act like us. That's called a country club. Those who will be the light of the world will throw open the doors of the kingdom and invite those to come and belong as they become more like Jesus. And so, I've taken some liberties. This that I'm going to read is not scripture. This is based on scripture. It's a modern day version of the Beatitudes that I came across and adapted and kind of rewrote over the last couple of days to try to hopefully get at the heartbeat of what Jesus is saying so that you might hear it with fresh ears and you might receive it this morning. Because for some of us, we are standing here today and we're not even trying yet to be the light of the world. We're just asking, can I actually belong to what God is doing? These are words for you. And if you and your friends and you and us in this church are going to be the light of the world, these are the type of people that we want to bless and invite into the kingdom of God. And so you might want to close your eyes so you can listen more clearly and not be distracted. Hear these words. Blessed are the down and out, the unemployed, the underemployed, the foreigner, the uneducated, those who are spiritually simple, who really have little to offer, because they belong to the kingdom of God. Blessed are the sad, the depressed, those grieving the death of a loved one, those grieving the failure of a marriage, another miscarriage, the political division or racism of our nation. They belong to the kingdom of God, and one day God himself will wipe every tear from their eyes. Blessed are the quiet, the shy, the socially awkward, the uncool, the badly dressed, the people with six followers, because they belong to the kingdom of God, and one day they will be free from the tyranny of what others think of them. And they will take up their rule as king and queen over God's world. Blessed are the messed up, those who just can't get it together when your life's a hot mess. The addict, the mentally unstable, the overweight, those from abusive homes. They are invited into the family of God to be so full of God's life, they won't know where to put it all. Blessed is the little guy, the people who get stomped on, passed over, and they don't fight violence with violence. One day, they will get all that mercy back with interest. Blessed are all the Christians in a post-Christian culture that is so hostile to what we believe. Even though we are made fun of, looked down on as stupid or mean or behind the times, they get to share in the cross-shaped life of Jesus and his kingdom. You are the light of the world. You get to invite everyone into the kingdom of God. You get to throw open the doors of grace and forgiveness that Jesus offers and say, come, you're welcome into the kingdom. You belong here. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your gospel. I thank you for your good news that Jesus came for people just like me. People who have a story and a past. People who bring you their hurts and frustrations. People who bring their grief and their heartache. And God, in your miraculous power, you transform our lives. And we, through the power of your Holy Spirit, through the work of forgiveness of the cross, and the power of the resurrection, we become the light of the world and point people towards you. So that may that be our heartbeat, that we would point people towards your good news, that we would point people towards Jesus. We ask all these things in your mighty and powerful name. And all God's people said, amen. Would you stand with me this morning? As you go today, go into your homes, your workplaces, your schools, your neighborhoods, your grocery stores, wherever you are, and go light this world for Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Grace and peace to you. We'll see you next week.